All right, Kathy Wyjeska, let's go to you. On line five, what's your position on the latest news, Governor Snyder's deal to allow line five to stick around for a few years while waiting to build a tunnel?
Well, frankly, I think it's ridiculous. What is going to happen? It's going to take 8 to 10 years to get that built, or okay, let's say 6 to 10. What's going to stop the pipe or pipes from bursting between now and when that tunnel is finished? And our Great Lakes, this is all we have. They're very, very important. 20% of the world's fresh water, this tourism, it's everything. It's everything to us. It's our job to make sure that water stays safe. And that is just a flow through. We only keep 5% of the oil that's flowing through in Michigan. It's a Canadian company going from Canada through Michigan back into Canada again. So no, it's not acceptable. I don't approve of it. I'll do everything in my power when I'm elected to shut that down, to vote to shut that down, to protect our Great Lakes. That's our job as legislators, is to protect the public interest, and the Great Lakes are our biggest public interest. And I can say that because I'm not in the pockets of anyone. I represent you and all the thoughts that you guys have and what you feel is very important. And so I feel really good about everything I'm doing. That's, as a nurse, we're the number one profession for ethical behavior and honesty, and I carry forth with that, and thank you.
Well, line five is a very emotional topic. And when I talk to people at the doors, one of the things that I think that's interesting is there's a lot of misconceptions about Line 5. The oil doesn't just go to Canada, it gets refined and comes back. 60-65% of the oil that goes through that line becomes the propane that the Upper Peninsula uses. Michigan is the leading state in the country that uses propane. Oil from Michigan gets put into that pipeline. The Antrim Reef and the Niagara Reef that are in the Lower Peninsula get put into that pipeline. I've talked to people, the men that work on that pipeline, they live in the Straits area. And one of the questions I asked them, I said, what do you think about when people disparage the pipeline? One of the guys said, I'm an environmental engineer. That's why I do this. I want to protect the Great Lakes. These guys live in that area. And I said, how do you feel when people disparage what you're doing here, protecting this pipeline in the Great Lakes? And the thing that I thought was very interesting was these five guys at the same moment had a physical reaction. They went, why? Because they take great pride in what they do, protecting that pipeline and the Great Lakes. The thing that you need to know is that pipeline is not a ticking time bomb. I think the tunnel makes a lot of sense because you can run. It is not a ticking time bomb. It's 60.
Please, no.
I can answer that. Extra 10.
No, I'm sorry, but you really have to have the candidates answer the questions, okay? I really do appreciate that.
If you know anything about metal, it rusts. But when it's underwater, there's no oxidation. When you're in cold, fresh water, it's even less. But the question was about the tunnel. The tunnel will make things safer, obviously, eyes on inspection. It will also, potentially, there's been discussion about running an electric power line through that tunnel to bring it to the Upper Peninsula so that electric costs in the Upper Peninsula can be lowered as well, because right now it has to come through Wisconsin and it costs more. So yes, I think the tunnel is a grand idea, as do many environmentalists. You're split on that topic specifically. So yeah, I'm for the tunnel.
Okay. Good. This is going to be a real short question, just because we're on the tunnel, and because it seems like it is a very emotional issue, and then we'll get off the tunnel. Let's have a scenario where the tunnel, you're guaranteed that tunnel will never leak. We'll start with Jack, and we'll go back around through. If you're guaranteed the tunnel would never leak, is it a good idea to start shutting down that tunnel anyways because you want to move towards cleaner energy?
Well, first of all, that tunnel is
30 seconds. I'm sorry.
As I understand it, that tunnel is going to be 100 feet below the lake bed. So I don't.
So this is like you're not building another tunnel. You got the tunnel there. You're guaranteed nothing is going to leak from that tunnel. Should we start closing it down anyway?
No, because even though we're moving towards electric and other things, we're years away from getting off of fossil fuels and oil particularly. The clothes you're wearing here today, much of that is from oil. So this move to other alternative fuels, I'm all for it, but it's not going to happen tomorrow. And if you shut that pipeline down now, the UP is going to freeze and their prices are going to skyrocket. And I just think it would be foolish to do. So the tunnel, as I say, and the pipeline, you can't just shut it down.
Thank you. Kathy?
I just don't know where to begin. Many of the things he said are false. I do not believe them at all.
My question, though.
Your question.
My question is, if that tunnel was guaranteed safe, so through an act of God, whatever, should we start shutting it down anyways because we want to move to cleaner?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. That is the future. Renewable energy is the future. We're the third highest employer in the Great Lakes region for renewable energy, and it's the cheapest form of energy and the safest. Cleanest, safest, cheapest. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Kurt.
If it's guaranteed that it's safe, absolutely we keep it open. The biggest thing we've got to remember is cost of doing business. We got to remember where Michigan sits. We only have one access point to speak of, and that's through the southern part of the state. If we don't have opportunities, fuels coming in, the cost of doing business in the state of Michigan, the cost of receiving our fuels is going to be extremely expensive. It's going to take people that come and visit this great part of the state, Glen Arbor, fewer people, less revenue. It's going to be a real problem. And again, propane in the UP, we're going to have to supplement the individuals that live there.
Thank you.
Let's switch this up a little bit. I think this is probably, let's put a 1 minute time limit on this question. I've sort of lost track a little bit. Let's start
I'm
with
in
Mr.
favor
Vanderwall.
Of the designated hitter role.
Mr. Vanderwall, let's start there. Is there a political issue in which you stray from party lines?
Yep.
What is it?
Education.
How so?
I was one of very few Republicans that voted 2 years ago against the education budget because it was going to shortchange our students, especially in the North. And I took a lot of heat from that, and I continue to fight for education. I've actually requested to be on the education committee. And if we don't start bringing our education system back to standard, get our locals back in control, we are going to have a major issue in the future. We already see we're ranked 39th out of 50 in our reading. The way we do education in Glen Arbor or Glen Lake can't be the same way it's done downstate. And you know what? Who knows better but our school officials, our parents, and our teachers?
Mr. O'Malley, we'll go to you next. Is there an issue?
You got 1 minute?
1 minute, yes.
I think that I'm a free thinker. Obviously, I agree with much of the party because we think alike. Not to copy off Kurt, but I think that we are in a position where we really need to look at how we fund our schools. I think that the system that we have in place is antiquated, and we need to look at that differently and how we do it. So I know that, as you say, that's kind of a comfortable situation, and the 2X funding that they've been working on is a good thing, but that is an area where I think we really need to take a new look, start over, get in the whiteboard, sit down, and rethink how we fund our school system.
Ms. Wyjeska, same question to you. Is there an issue in which you stray from the party line?
I like to tell people when I've been at the doors, people will say to me, so what are you? And I'll say, I'm an American. And they go, no, no, what party are you? And I'll say, I'm a Democrat, but, you know, in all honesty, I kind of consider myself a nonpartisan in the sense of I'm a nurse, so I've worked with so many people from all walks of life. Nursing has done more for me than I've done for it. I've taken care of people from every religion, every skin color, every persuasion of any sort, and even prisoners. I've taken care of rapists and murderers. So I'm tired of the divisiveness and on both sides, and I know I've said this before, but I feel very strongly about it. Thank you.
Is there a specific issue, though, like gun control or healthcare reform in which you disagree with the thoughts of the Democratic Party?
Well, I mean, I'm my own thinker. You know, I've never followed behind anybody. So I have my own slants on a lot of different things. And certainly in healthcare, I think it's very, very, very complex. I know there's some ads going around that are saying some terrible, horrible things about me. And those things obviously aren't true. And I've been at the doors where people say to me, you're a nurse. I'm pretty sure you're not any of those things. So it's going to be complex issues to get to where we need to be with healthcare reform. And it's not a simple, you know, universal single payer. It's going to take a while to get there. I do know that because
Thank
it's very
you.
Complex.
Thank you, Kathy. I do appreciate it. This one. Now, what order? Let me see here. It doesn't make any difference. I've got what we're going to rotate this start. I'm going to call this like a lightning round. I'm just going to say one word or two words, whatever. You guys just tell me one sentence. First thing comes off your mind, okay? So Kathy ended, but so we'll start with Kathy. Cherry growers.
Hardworking, good people.
Very good. I was thinking, you know, maybe we should limit to three ands. Okay. All right, so we're going to go right down the line.
In a tough spot that need a lot of help from our federal government because of tariffs.
You stole it from me.
Tariffs. Your mind.
We need to make sure that what comes in is equal to what goes out.
Okay. Start with Jack. Third grade.
Two longest years of my life.
No.
Kurt. Top it.
Third grade is...
you already got it. Oh, you already got it. There you go. Kurt, did you take notes for this, or
no.
What are you doing there?
I was just getting my glasses if I need them. But third grade shows we're behind and our reading skills need work.
Kathy.
Third grade taught that. Great kids, loving.
And those that was all one sentence, right? You didn't have them. Oh, yeah, that's good. No, I'm fine with that. Okay, Kurt, Lake Michigan.
Greatest lake on earth. Nervous about invasive species.
I think Kathy, yeah.
Needs to be protected.
One of five that needs to be protected.
Okay. Now we're back to Kathy. Trump. One sentence. Pretend you're tweeting.
divisive. Eager to blame.
Jack.
Not always a fan of his rhetoric and demeanor, but I am a fan of his policies and accomplishments.
Kurt.
Take away his Twitter account, but appreciate what he's promised and what he's done.
Okay. Jack, Detroit Lions.
My birthright and my curse.
Kurt.
Disappointed they beat my Packers.
And Kathy.
I don't watch sports. Too busy working.
Sometimes that's okay.
Okay. And we'll end up with a serious one. Kurt, taxes.
Need to make sure what we use currently responsibly and try to reduce them as quick as we can to what we promised 10 years ago.
Yeah, Jack, we'll go back that way. I'm sorry.
Necessary, but we don't need as many as we have.
And Kathy. Yes.
Working people, seniors are overtaxed.
Okay, thank you.
We've had a couple of audience questions about education. I want to pick this one, and there is a name on it, and I want to invite Sarah Jane to come up and read the question herself if she wants to. You don't have to. Yes, hey, we're putting Sarah Jane on the spot. This is Sarah Jane Johnson from Sutton's Bay Public Schools. Do you want the... I think probably 2 minutes for this one. Yeah. The microphone right there, Sarah, right there. Yeah, thank you.
My question for all is, Michigan is currently in the bottom 10 states for education. Do you and how would you support early childhood education as a foundation for improved educational outcomes for all Michigan students and to help build a better economy for Michigan? Early childhood is the crux of the question.
Let's start with Jack on this one and 2 minute limit. Thank you, Sarah Jane.
A lot of people, when I've talked to them about early childhood, especially if they're a little older, they don't quite get it. But times have changed. It's a different generation, and families have different dynamics. And early childhood is huge. And that's why I want to get on the education committee in the House. I feel that it's vastly important that we, as a state from Lansing, we push things. Too much stuff comes out of Lansing. We need to get local control, local school boards, local teachers, local parents to handle and learn and be more involved in the education process and decision making. And I think that's huge. I've talked to early child care providers and educators, and it's so very important. And it's something that we need to educate the populace about. And the child care issue, the daycare type issue, is also a huge part of that, because these children need to have a quality and safe daycare. And the state is sorely lacking in the child care area, too, because of regulations and low thresholds for applying for government assistance for daycare. So I think it is a huge part of things. Hopefully, if we can get this more focused into our schools and into the general populace thinking, we'll get those third grade reading skills up again. And it's hugely important. And the state needs to focus on that and get the financing to the local school districts so they can appropriate it where that community sees the need for it most.
Let's go to Kathy Wyjeska next. Kathy, the question, how would you support early childhood education as a foundation for improving education in Michigan?
I would totally support early childhood education. Having been an educator myself for 14 years, I was a school nurse, but I spent a good part of that time educating and worked with the Early On program through Traverse Bay Area Intermediate School District. And a lot of those kids, we were in the homes from birth on. And so I would support early childhood from birth on. Parents can always use help, and children are, those are vital years when they're very, very young, even when they're newborns, infants, on up to toddlers. So I would extend that beyond early childhood and towards newborn and support to families. And I do agree with Jack about early childhood or about child care in the sense that we do need to provide change the income eligibility threshold so that more people can qualify for child care reimbursements and allow people to be able to get the child care services that they need so that they can work. But we have to be very, very careful about what regulations we're cutting out. There's a lot of bad people out there, and children need to be protected. So just to say that we're going to knock out regulations, we need to be very, very careful. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Vanderwall?
As I said in my opening statement, I do believe it starts from birth to graduation, but early childhood development is extremely important. We lack that. It shows that in our reading skills, our test scores, and we need to do everything we can do to make sure that we give the opportunities to our young people and our families. But it comes as a breakdown of three ways of doing it. And it's, of course, the parent. It's got to be the state. And it's also got to be the businesses that are wanting to hire these people. We need a three-tier system to make this work and ultimately succeed. I really feel strongly that when I met, we had a work session with about 50 people down in Ludington here about a year ago. And we had some really good progress, and there is major struggles right now in those businesses and what they've got to report, what they do in regulations. I agree with all aspects. We need to make sure that everything at all times is monitored, but sometimes we love to just add on more and more regulation, in which is causing our providers to quit and disappear. And as we lose them and disappear, that forces families to make choices, either people that shouldn't be taking care of their children, or they just don't go back to work. And we've got to give them the opportunity for our children, and I believe that will make us succeed.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go right back down the row. So, Kurt and back. Glasses, please. If elected, what role will faith held by your constituents, your faith, or both, play in your decision-making?
Faith makes a huge part. As a Christian, I really believe that faith is extremely important. I currently have a group of ministers that we communicate on a weekly basis. But you never take anything lightly, and I believe that it's extremely important that anything that makes up your belief, that you work very hard to make sure that you think every bill through, to make sure it's right, and make sure that you're comfortable with that decision. So faith is a huge part of my life and what I'll continue to do in the future.
Thank you. Yeah, right back through, Jack.
Okay. I'm with Kurt. Faith is huge. It's my foundation. I believe that the good Lord wants us to do good things while we're here. That's why I'm running. I feel that for me, it is the reason I've done everything I've always done, because it is important that I need to be a good person, need to help and work with people. And when I started this journey, I did a little praying, and I realize and I know that when I'm in Lansing, I will always vote my conscience, because I have to be true to myself and my beliefs. And that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm going to be bought and sold. It won't. It means I'll be who I am. And when I started this journey, I did pray. And I came to realize that prayer can sometimes take a while, and it gets in the way. And so I simplified it. I heard it. And I said, all right, God, from here on out, my prayer is simple. Thy will be done.
Thank you.
Yes, faith. I'm a very spiritual person. I have seen the Living Bible at so many doors that I've been at. I have been prayed at the doors. People have told me that they have surrounded not just me, but my team and supporters with an aura of safety. And I don't take that lightly. I don't take my spirituality lightly. I am a Catholic. But I also believe that there's other beliefs. and other religions. And I went to Catholic school for 8 years, so we used to pray for Buddhists that they would convert. I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe that my religion is the only religion, because I've just met wonderful, wonderful people of all religions, and I believe that our job is to role model the Bible or whatever holy book a person believes in, and carry forth that those beliefs down in Lansing or wherever we're at, surrounding with people. And it's been a wonderful journey, and I'm glad to be here.
I think we're going to, we've got a couple of questions left. We're going to wrap things up here after that. We're going to keep this one short. Let's keep it to 30 seconds even, shall we? And Jack O'Malley, we'll start with you. If you could sign up for one class to learn something you've always wanted to learn, what would it be?
Astronomy. I find it fascinating. I say that I would take a ride on a spaceship. Give me all the Dramamine you got. I would love to see outer space. I'd love to see this beautiful planet from outer space. Space is always, real quick story. When I was a kid, people, photographers would come to the home and take pictures in the house. And I was such a space junkie but I hated getting my picture taken. I'd cry. Mom, she found a photographer whose name was John Glenn. And my mother lied to me, but I got my picture taken because I thought John Glenn was taking my picture.
Mr. Vanderwall, I'm not sure if that's how astronomy classes work, but okay.
Well, I love space.
Mr. Vanderwall, if you could sign up for a class to learn something you've always wanted to learn, what would it be?
I would love to learn how to fly fish and tie flies. I will tell you, I love being on the river. I would love to fish the river. Unfortunately, there's one problem. One whip of the hand, my line's in the tree, and I just look at the opportunity of what God's given us. If I can walk down a river and go for a trout, I just think that would be really cool.
Miss Wajeska, anything you've always wanted to learn how to do?
Yes, actually. To speak a foreign language. How about Japanese, to speak it and write it and read it. I would love to do that.
Great.
Very good. So I guess start it, Kathy, and come back. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the little things. Hurricane Michael is claiming headlines, as it should this week, yet termites annually cause more damage each year than hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, and fires combined. What is the last little thing that you let get under your skin?
You're coming to me.
Yeah, just 30 seconds. As soon as you get there.
Oh, jeez. No. Blame you.
She's looking at her husband.
Not help you.
I guess I'd have to say that. It'd be my husband.
You should have taken a fifth on that.
43 years, I think I have the privilege of saying that. Sorry, honey.
Jack.
Sorry, I'm in a similar boat. My 17-year-old son's job is to empty the dishwasher. Doesn't happen very often. It didn't happen today. As I was leaving, I said, take care of that dishwasher.
And Kurt?
I would have to say that the thing that gets under my skin is when somebody promises they're going to make a delivery, especially during campaign season, of the information you need, and it doesn't show up, and they don't call, and then the next day it doesn't show up, and then you call, and they go, oh, blah, blah. And then finally you get it.
Final. I think that's it. What's our time limit for?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay. Each candidate is going to get 2 minutes for closing words. Shall we start the same way and go back down?
the big thing is Kathy and Jack, the reverse on which way. When we opened, who went first? Kathy did, I think. So probably go Jack, Kathy, and then back down to Kurt.
Okay. So this is the closing? Good.
Yes, 2 minutes.
Okay. I believe that I am the best candidate for this position. I believe that I am a person who historically has proven the fact that I listen to everybody. I know how to ask questions. I believe that I am a person who can listen to someone I disagree with. I'm willing to sit and talk and understand that, yeah, we might not end up totally agreeing, but maybe you'll say something to me that will make sense and maybe make a difference in thought process. Not necessarily change my mind, but give me something to think about. I plan to continue the great work that the current representative, Mr. Vanderwall, has started. I promise I will be accessible. Coffee hours, I think I'm going to just mirror his schedule because it's already ingrained in the district. I will be visible. I will work hard. And I think important to know is that I'm not an emotional guy. Yes, I have emotions, but I'm not emotional. I'm common sense. And I think common sense is something that's lacking in our political discourse across the nation, and across the state, and locally. So know that I'm a person who has listened to this district for 34 years. I'm a person who has been involved and wants to continue to be involved and serve the people of the 101st, the Fighting 101, as I like to call it. I am your common sense candidate. I will be proud on November 6th when the people of the 101st choose me as their state representative. That will be the proudest day of my life personally. Thank you.
Well, caring is more than just words. Caring is more than just listening. Caring takes a lot of action. Nurses are used to getting the work done. I've delivered babies. I've stayed up all night. I've done so much for so many, but they've actually done more for me. That's what I offer down in Lansing, and I offer it for the people. Because I'm used to serving people. I'm used to advocating. I am an honest person. I can't remember the last time I told a lie, probably when I was a child. A lot of people tell me, you sure you want to be a politician? And I tell them I'm not a politician, I'm a nurse. And they get that. They get that. I know all those ads that are out there. I haven't seen them, and I don't care about them, and I got tough skin. I've been bullied all my life. Doesn't bother me, but it bothers my supporters, and it bothers people at the door who weren't going to vote for me, who now they are because the ads are that bad. So I know they're doing that because they're desperate, because we've got a really good chance, our team, we've got a really good chance of winning this in this swing district. And that's what Lansing's telling us, and that's what I'm seeing and hearing at the doors and on the phones. So we have an honorable campaign, a campaign where it's people first for the 101st. That's what I offer. That's what I will do. I don't know any other way to work than really, really hard. I've been a case manager. I've had 300, 400, 500 patients that I've cared for. Yes, 90,000 people is a lot more. I can handle it. Thank you.
First of all, I want to say thank you to everyone that came here this evening. I know some folks drove a long ways, and I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to come learn a little bit more about us. I would love the opportunity to continue to serve you. I do believe that I'm a good listener. I believe I'm genuine, but most of all, I take your values down to Lansing, and I'm going to work extremely hard to make sure the 35th Senate District is protected and protects you as individuals in each individual county that I serve. I will continue to have my monthly meetings. I know it's going to be tough with 12 counties, but we will do it one way or another. We'll get it done. But I do want to have the opportunity to continue to work for you to make sure that we bring the things that are most precious to us in our district. And I ask that you throw your support towards me on November 6th. I would be honored. I would be privileged. And look forward to that opportunity again. And a thank you again for being here this evening. And thank you, Alan, Leland Enterprise, IPR, for once again keeping us all in line, keeping us as candidates on task. But I appreciate it. And thank you all for being here.
Okay. I think that's about it. Once again, I'd like to thank Alan Campbell and the Leland Enterprise. I'm told there's still some pie in the back if you want to grab a slice on the way out. Thank you all for being here. Thanks to our candidates for taking part tonight.